Welcome to Unsolved Mysteries Rewind. Today I am announcing changes that are to come and what you can expect in the future. I am sorry to announce that Kim has decided to leave the show and focus on personal matters, but we remain great friends and I only hope great things for her. I've thought hard about the format of the show and how it can move forward while providing deep dives and in-depth coverage, and I feel listeners will greatly enjoy what is to come. Unsolved Mysteries Rewind will always focus on the Robert Stack seasons. Retaining the overall feel of the show is important to me, so please stay tuned. That being said, I am releasing a new podcast alongside Unsolved Mysteries Rewind, which focuses on a forgotten old-time radio show from 1936 named Unsolved Mysteries. Without further delay, please enjoy the first episode of Unsolved Mysteries Rewind 1936. The regular Unsolved Mysteries Rewind will return in the next episode. Some of the words and expressions used in old-time radio programs can be considered offensive to some. I am presenting the following program unedited for historical purposes. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to a forgotten treasure trove of Unsolved Mysteries history. Unsolved Mysteries Rewind will be releasing all of these old-time radio episodes in the best remastered quality available. In 1935, the original Unsolved Mysteries was released. Stanley Payton was the original host, and each episode would tell stories of unexplained true happenings. Your skin will creep as you listen to truths about voodoo, witch doctors of Africa, double murders that would never occur in 1,000 years, dead men telling tales, and supernatural forces. Unsolved Mysteries has proof that zombies do exist.
Unsolved Mysteries. The Borden case is undoubtedly without parallel in the criminal annals of America. It is perhaps the most puzzling murder which has occurred anywhere in the whole world. The perpetrator of this double murder was saved from the gallows by a most extraordinary chain of circumstances. Circumstances which perhaps would not recur in 1,000 years.
Lizzie Andrew Borden was an American woman who was the main suspect in the August 4th, 1892 axe murders of her father and stepmother in Fall River, Massachusetts. Please note, Lizzie Borden was tried and acquitted of the two murders. The case received widespread newspaper coverage throughout the United States. Following her release from jail, where she was held during the trial, Lizzie Borden chose to remain a resident of Fall River, despite facing tension from the other residents. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts elected not to charge anyone else with the murder of Andrew and Abby Borden. Lizzie spent the remainder of her life in Fall River before dying of pneumonia on June 1st, 1927, at the age of 66, just days before the death of her sister, Emma. Lizzie Borden and her association with the murders has remained a topic in American popular culture mythology into the 21st century, and she has been depicted in various films, theatrical productions, literary works, and folk rhymes, and is still very well known in Fall River and the surrounding area to this day. Currently, you can even stay in the house where the crimes were committed, as it is now a bed and breakfast. You can visit lizzie-borden.com to book a room tonight.
The Borden place in Fall River, Massachusetts, was a house of silences. A house of moody, brooding silences brought about by pent-up hatreds, petty jealousies, niggardly dealings in money matters, and two daughters who hated their stepmother. A stepmother who hated with equal intensity her two stepdaughters. Even from the outside, the Borden house, where it stood on South Main Street, had about it an air of ineffable doom. The atmosphere of a place accursed. It is exactly 30 seconds before 11 o'clock on the morning of August the 4th. Bridget, the maid, finished with her morning duties, is resting in her room on the third story. Mr. Borden is lying on the couch in the living room. Emma Borden is away from home. And Lizzie Borden is standing on the back porch.
Bridget, come here.
What's the matter, Miss Lizzie?
Come down quick. father's dead. Somebody came in and killed him. Don't go in, Bridget. Don't go in. Get a doctor. Run across the street and get Dr. Bowen.
Is there anything wrong, Lizzie?
Oh, Mrs. Churchill, someone has killed father. Please, please come over.
I'll be over right away.
The doctor isn't home. I left word for him to come. Miss Lizzie, where were you when this happened?
I was out in the yard. I heard a groan. The screen door was wide open. I came in.
Lizzie, where is your father?
In the living room.
Where were you, Lizzie, when it happened?
I went to the barn to get a piece of iron.
Where is your mother?
I don't know. She had a note to go see someone who was sick. It must have been in town, but I thought I heard her come in. I don't know but what she may have been killed, too. Father must have an enemy.
What's all this, Lizzie? What did they hear about your father?
It's Dr. Bowen, and he has Officer Allen with him. Oh, Doctor, in the living room.
All right. Now stand back. Come on, Doctor. No need to examine him to see whether or not he's dead.
Get me a sheet, somebody.
How long have you been dead, Doc? About 10 minutes. Still warm. Lizzie.
Yes, Doctor.
Where were you when this happened?
I was over at the barn.
Where were you, Bridget?
In my room, upstairs.
Well, did you hear anything?
No.
Were you asleep?
No. I've just been lying down for a few seconds.
Now, listen. Nobody could have killed this man the way he's been killed without making some noise. No signs of any weapon either, officer. Let me see your hands, Bridget. That's it. Turn around. Nothing there. You, Miss Lizzie. Let me see your hands.
Me?
Yes, you. Whoever killed this man must have left some traces. And you were the only two people in the house.
There's no signs of blood on Lizzie. Not even inside her bodice. I've looked, Bridget.
You go upstairs and see if Mother's come in.
Not alone, Miss Lizzie. I'm not going up those stairs alone.
I'll go with you. Oh, Doctor Lizzie. Oh.
That's Mrs. Borden?
Yes. I knew something like this would happen.
What? Why?
I just did. That's all.
Allen.
Yes, Doctor?
Jeez. Mrs. Borden's been dead anywhere from 1 hour to 2 hours.
And he's been dead only a few minutes.
Yes.
Well, every one of you stay where you are. I'm going to search for the weapon.
But neither Officer Allen nor any other of the many members of the police force ever found the weapon. Mrs. Churchill, from her window across the driveway, saw no one enter or leave the house. Mrs. Borden, the murdered woman, weighed nearly 200 pounds, yet no one heard a sound when the murderer felled her. Not a sound, not a cry, not a clue, but suspicions. Yes. Lizzie Borden lay in prison, staring at the whitewashed ceiling, hearing again and again the same words. Different voices, but always the same words.
Where were you, Lizzie Borden, when this happened?
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 The Superior Court of New Bedford on this day, June the 20th, now in session. Chief Justice Albert Mason presiding. All stand while the justice takes his seat.
Mr. Robinson, you may begin your closing appeal to the jury.
Gentlemen of the jury, you have heard the witnesses describe the sitting room in which Mr. Borden was killed. Of the walls, the ceiling were splattered with blood. Now, gentlemen of the jury, almost 2 hours elapsed between the murders. At no time was Miss Lizzie Borden out of the sight of Bridget the maid or Mr. Borden before his death. For a period of more than 20 minutes. How could she cleanse herself of bloodstains in that length of time? I repeat, how could she cleanse herself of bloodstains in that length of time? She could not. Now remember that according to the state, Lizzie Borden must have killed her stepmother about 9:30, got rid of the weapon, cleansed herself, and appeared before Bridget the maid before 9:45. Again, she had between 10:45 and 11 o'clock in which to kill Mr. Borden, again dispose of the weapon, and again cleanse herself of bloodstains. Impossible, gentlemen of the jury, impossible. Within 15 minutes of Mr. Borden's death, Lizzie Borden was examined by Mrs. Churchill, who stated that there were no bloodstains on Lizzie Borden's person, not even inside her bodice. I have finished. I ask that you think carefully and seriously upon the evidence presented when you return your verdict.
The district attorney may address the jury.
Gentlemen of the jury, the defense contend that Lizzie Borden did not have time to cleanse herself after killing her stepmother. Now, that is something that no one can say. The medical testimony cannot and does not specify the exact moment at which Mrs. Borden was struck down. And Lizzie Borden may have had ample time in which to rid herself of the telltale bloodstains. In regard to the killing of Mr. Borden, I admit the difficulty. I cannot answer it. You cannot answer it. But, gentlemen of the jury, Lizzie Borden was the only person who could have committed the double murder.
And so I say to you, gentlemen of the jury, as presiding judge in this case, that if the state have not proved their case, then you must find for the prisoner and return a verdict so. You may retire to consider your verdict.
While the jury retire to consider their verdict, consider the case. It is not easy to remove bloodstains. Bloodstains can be removed more or less easily from the smooth skin of the face, but from the hands, no. Remember, too, that there was no bathtub in the Borden home. Do not lose sight of the fact that no weapon was found, no burned clothes were found, and the murderer must have been literally saturated with the victim's blood. Consider, too, that at any moment Bridget, the maid, or Mr. Borden could have walked upstairs and discovered the murderer killing Mrs. Borden. The jury have been out almost an hour. It is 4:30, and they file to their places in the jury box.
Are the gentlemen of the jury agreed upon a verdict?
We are, Your Honor.
Lizzie Borden, stand up. Face the jury.
We, the jury, find the prisoner not guilty.
A careful reading, without emotion or favor, of the trial transcript must convince any unprejudiced person that Lizzie Borden did not commit the double murder. Since this is an unsolved mystery, any solution is necessarily a supposition based, however, upon the known facts. A possible solution will be presented after you have heard from your sponsor. On two occasions previous to the Borden murders, the Borden home had been robbed of jewelry and money. Stray tramps had probably perpetrated the robberies, and remember that these gentlemen of the highway leave secret markings on walls and houses informing their brothers of the road that these houses are easy to rob, or perhaps a mark that tells that the householder is kindly and that food will be forthcoming. It is the morning of the murder.
Lizzie? Lizzie?
Yes, Mother?
I'm going to town to visit a friend who isn't feeling well.
Now, Mother?
I'm going to my room to dress first. Have Bridget wash the windows.
Yes, Mother. Bridget? Oh, Bridget?
Yes, Miss Lizzie?
I'm going to do some ironing. Will you wash the windows?
Yes, Miss Lizzie. I've got the water and everything ready now. I'm going right outside.
Both of the irons won't be hot for quite a spell. I'll go over to the barn and get the lead to make these sinkers for my fishing line.
A tramp hidden in the basement since early morning makes his way into the house. This is his opportunity for petty theft. The house is empty, he thinks. In the upper room, he comes face to face with Mrs. Borden. He silences her unuttered cry with a blow. Panic seizes him and he turns to flee. Escape is impossible. Lizzie Borden has returned from the barn and tremblingly the murderer hides in the same room where his victim lies dead.
Here's your father, Miss Lizzie. I'm going up to my room for a few minutes.
Very well, Bridget. Oh, hello, Father.
Oh, hello, Lizzie.
Any mail for me, Father?
No, not a thing, Lizzie. I'm tired. I think I'll lie down for a bit on the sofa.
All right. I'm going out of the barn for a piece of iron.
The murderer, still hidden in the upper room, hears the door slam. He creeps downstairs to the living room, sees Mr. Borden on the sofa, and thinking he's asleep, tries to creep past him. Borden looks up, sees the blood-stained figure, but like Mrs. Borden, he is silenced with a blow before he can say a word. The back door creaks. Lizzie's returning. In a moment, the hue and cry will be raised. The murderer's only chance is to hide in the basement and wait for an opportune moment to escape. And so Fall River had an unsolved mystery. For the police, despite a statement that a murderer could have entered the house through the basement, didn't even look in the basement till the next day. And the murderer had, of course, made his escape in the dark of the previous night.
Thank you for listening to this presentation of the 1935 Unsolved Mysteries radio program. If you would like to hear more discussions and to get real updates to the Robert Stack Unsolved Mysteries television show, please subscribe to our podcast, Unsolved Mysteries Rewind, or visit stillunsolved.com.